HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shortest Way Home, One Mayor's Challenge and a Model for America's Future, by Pete Buttigieg. Read by Pete Buttigieg. Everyone's own homeland is Kashmir to him. Afghan proverb. Section 1. Remembering. Factories were our cathedrals, pushed up out of the Great Plains. Michael Collins. Chapter 1. The South Bend I Grew Up In. Dawn comes late, here along the western limit of the eastern time zone, so far from the coast that our first sunrise of the year arrives after 8 in the morning. Most January days are cloudy, making sun up a hidden and gradual process, less a moment of daybreak than a cold shift away from the illuminated night, in which the cloud ceiling and the snow cover reflect the sodium streetlights between them into an orange glow, so bright you can read the paper outside at 4 in the morning. So the first hint of morning actually makes things seem darker, as the amber nightlight yields and the sky deepens into a kind of electric indigo. The species of light evolve around you, from luminous ambience to discrete points of light along the horizon, the general giving way to the specific. Looking at this scene from the 14th floor windows of the mayor's corner office, it's easy to imagine that you're in the wheelhouse of a ship at sea. Adding to the effect, if it's windy out, the air pushes and pulls the picture window panes, making a noise far out of proportion to the wind's actual strength, as though the entire building is buffeted by a great gale. A few snowflakes whirl out of the air and fly up across the reflection of your fluorescent-lit face, and you feel like touching a piece of furniture to make sure you are steady. It was that kind of deep winter morning on New Year's Day 2012, my first day as mayor of South Bend, a city of 100,000 people in northern Indiana, my hometown. Peering out across the empty desk into the lingering blue of a slow-motion midwinter dawn, the sky no longer orange but not yet gray, I pondered what to do with my first few minutes of unscheduled time. Day one had commenced early, with a visit to the street department garage to encourage the plow crews, and a stop at Memorial Hospital to greet Caleb, the first newborn of the new year. Now I was upstairs in my new office, and there was plenty on the schedule for the rest of the day, building up to the formal swearing-in ceremony set for that evening. But in this unstructured moment, what exactly should I do? Go over the speech one more time? Open my new city government email? Check the weather again, I quickly decided, and find out how the plows are doing. Snow, of course, can be a beautiful thing. It is the great benefactor of children, promising canceled school and hot chocolate and downhill sledding. But it is the mortal enemy of any mayor it touches. One day's worth of bungled plowing is all that stands between a mayor and political disaster. At a minimum, as Mike Bloomberg experienced, a rough or mishandled snowstorm can bring days of criticism. At worst, as Chicago's Michael Blandick and New York's John V. Lindsay learned the hard way, it spells career oblivion. Even after it melts, mayors curse the past winter's snowfall, because it invariably refreezes to become the progenitor of a mayor's other great enemy and prey, the pothole. As I learned growing up, snow can be a great unifier in a place like South Bend. When a storm is past and the glinting winter sun emerges, so do we, with our shovels, and as water drips from icicles along garage gutters, we appear in our alleys to dig out our cars. It becomes a social activity based on cheerful, neighborly commiseration. Snow furnishes the grounds for conversation, and even though we pride ourselves on being able to handle it, a good enough snowstorm can supply conversational fodder for weeks or even years to come. Like rain for the English, snow to a South Bender is worthy of intensive discussion, even though, or perhaps because, it is so familiar. Ask anyone who is old enough to remember, and they will tell you all about the blizzard of 78. According to my parents, it was still the universal conversation starter even 2.5 years later, when they arrived on College Street with their U-Haul from Texas not long before I was born. "Have you heard about the blizzard of 78?" someone would ask, as you were pumping gas, waiting in the checkout line at Martin's supermarket, or slicing into your roasted chicken at a dinner party. And once the question is asked, it makes no difference how you answer. Prepare to hear about the blizzard of 78. By late January that cold year, there were already a couple feet of snow on the ground. Forecasters knew a storm was coming on that Thursday, January 26th, perhaps a serious one, but no one realized it would be historic. The mayor was traveling, so Pete Mullen, the city controller,